If you go outside, if your pain body is active, and it may be active for an hour, it may be active for a whole day in some people, it could be active for several days, it varies a lot. For some people it's only a few minutes, but those tend to be people already becoming more conscious, so it cannot linger, it's recognized sometimes before it can really get hold of your mind. We'll come to that. But if you go outside and your pain body is active, you also attract other active pain bodies, because active pain bodies recognize each other. So if you then, any situation that you walk into with an active pain body, you may be hiding it at that moment. It'll be in your mind, yes, it's active, it's using your mind, but you're smiling. And suddenly, somebody attacks you, verbally or in whatever way. And that was somebody whose pain body recognized yours and said, oh, here's food. And then you go away from that, and then you go around the corner and it happens again. Somebody else attacks you. And the whole world seems to be hostile, because every pain body, unless they are totally dormant in certain people, maybe they've just gone through the active period and they just don't want any more pain, they haven't digested the pain yet. But every other pain body recognizes you. And they like to meet each other and feed on each other. And for some people, the pain body is associated also with the opposite sex. That's a strange thing that is not that uncommon. And that is but often the case when, not necessarily always, you've had a painful relationship with a parent. Then your relationship with a man, your relationship with a woman, is associated with pain body. And it is not uncommon for people to choose their partner through their pain body, unconsciously of course. To choose, when you fall in love, quite often the pain body has a part in that. And this strong attraction you feel is partly the attraction through your pain body to somebody else's pain body who perfectly complements yours. And so you feel drawn to that person very strongly. And we all know people, perhaps even ourselves, who again and again are drawn to the same kind of person that creates the same kind of pain for them. And they're doing it again. And then they say, this time I'm not choosing a partner with a pain body anymore. I want somebody conscious. And so you choose somebody who practices meditation, who is a vegetarian. And surely he or she must be conscious. And maybe you forgot that Hitler was a vegetarian too. And then you start living together, and then you realize, oh, suddenly it's happening again. The same, I've fallen into the same, I've married the same man again. That's because the attraction was there through the pain body. So many marriages are like that, made in, what's the expression, made in heaven, something, marriage made in heaven, and this one is made in hell. So pain bodies recognize each other. Pain bodies do not want to be recognized in themselves for what they are. They don't want the light of your attention on them. They want to flow into your mind, renew themselves through using your mind and using other people. They can only continue to renew themselves if you don't recognize them for what they are. If the recognition isn't there, each time you get overtaken totally, and immediately it's become self, it's become the me, an unhappy me. So to break that is simply to be alert enough, and of course you cannot make yourself be alert enough, that the alertness, the presence that is required to watch the pain body, you can't make, through effort, make yourself alert enough. It's either there or it isn't there. In your case, it's there because you're here. That is a clear sign that enough presence is there for you to meet the pain body with alertness and watch it. If possible, the moment it arises as an enormous energy impulse. And to watch that. Maybe you can't stop it yet, you don't need to stop it. Just watch as it, if possible, catch it before it becomes a thought. Catch it on the energetic level just as it begins to move into your mind. Now that is easier to do with certain pain bodies than with others. If your pain body's frequency is predominantly heavy, of enormous heaviness and density, so when it takes you over, you go, slow and heavy thought processes about how dreadful everything is, just completely pointless and dreadful, and the whole world is just dreadful. Now those are easier to catch because they arise more slowly. Oh, there it is. And then there are other pain bodies that contain a great deal of fire, anger, and they come, and that's very hard to catch them because there's virtually no gap. They arise as an energy phenomenon, but before you know it's an energy phenomenon, it's already become a thought and you're shouting at somebody. Or if nobody is around, you're shouting in your head. And so the pain body has already taken over your mind. And so the most difficult one to catch is if it's predominantly angry. And you may not be able to catch because the gap between seeing the pain body as an energy phenomenon and it becoming a thought and thereby a me, a self, the gap is too short or almost non-existent. In that case, all you can hope for is that in the middle of that, somewhere an observing presence watches you in motion. Oh. And so the from underneath the pain body, there is a witnessing presence. But it may not happen yet. It may be that you wait until it's subsided, and then very quickly the awareness is there, and you suddenly realized that was the pain body. There it was. It just been feeding on my mind and on this situation. And the more consciousness there is, the sooner you wake up after it has subsided. You can wake up as the anger subsides. There is sometimes a gap when the energy field goes down, the pain body begins to leave your mind, begins to withdraw because it's been feeding enough. It begins to withdraw from your mind, and there, at this point when it begins to withdraw, you can sense it as an energy field. Okay, you haven't failed. You're there now. At any time you are there as the presence, it's fine. With now other pain bodies, you can catch as they arise as an energy phenomenon. There it is. And you watch it. You allow it to be. This is the key. You allow it to be. You cannot fight it. The key is even here, to bring in the yes, because it is. It is. What can you do? It's right here. It is. It is the suchness of this moment. And so you embrace it. If that's all you can, that implies that there is a witnessing presence. So you embrace it. You allow it to be. And the amazing thing is when you begin to realize that there can be, even in the case of the pain body, there can be a spaciousness around it. Even in the case of an angry pain body, which fumes and shouts, and suddenly you know it, and allow that to be there, there's suddenly a little bit of space around it. You may find yourself in the midst of a shouting match with somebody, and suddenly you see, oh, it's like looking at someone else going through the motions. Looking at a predetermined script which you are compelled to act out, which is a conditioned. And seeing then, the freedom arises when you see the non-personal nature of the pain body. When you see the non-personal nature of the emotional pain, ultimately, although anger doesn't recognize itself as pain, you see the non-personal nature of all those energy movements that we call pain body movements. They are recognized as human pain. They only become personal when they amplify and energize a story in my head that is my story, and that is me, and that is the fictitious self. That is the delusion that it is a personal matter. And you suddenly, when you allow the pain body to be there as an energy phenomenon, it's no longer a personal matter. And you realize it's very similar in every other person. It's basically the same. Anger is anger, human anger. Fear is fear, human fear. And sadness, the heaviness of depression, is the sadness and the heaviness of human sadness. There is no person there. And so it's an enormous liberation to see that this is not, it's not who I am, it's not me, it's human pain flowing through me. It's the human condition. And here it is. And what can you do with the human condition, which is the condition of the unsurrendered consciousness for a million years, you bring surrender to that. The human pain body is only there because of a million years of non-surrender, of egoic delusion. And so you simply bring surrender into that. And with that act of yes, its impersonal nature is revealed. And it's not feeding on your mind anymore, because it can only feed on your mind by pretending to be you. It's only when you believe, when it becomes a self, the pain body energizes the mind structures that we call the self, the mind-made self, amplifies that those mind structures, then it's feeding. If the pain body does not flow into that, it cannot gain new energy. And the energy that is there, through allowing it, becomes dissipated. Not that you can't kill it, there's nothing there to kill. It's life energy, but it's trapped, that's all. It becomes the heaviness or the anger. That anger, all it means is enormous amount of life energy at a particular frequency, trapped. And then you bring acceptance to it, and presence, they are one, and suddenly that transmutation could be described as the pain, the energy, the vibrational frequency that was in the pain becoming transmuted into the much higher vibrational frequency of presence. It becomes consumed and it becomes conscious presence. And this is why many people with extremely heavy pain bodies more people with heavy pain bodies have become liberated than people with relatively weak pain bodies. And that's why it's often in people where you would say, he hasn't got a chance, not in this lifetime. Look at his pain body, I mean, just... And you could be very wrong. So my pain body was extremely heavy, the pain body of this form. And it was only through it becoming unbearably heavy, that it dissolved all at once, and it became consciousness. For most people, the dissolving happens over a period of time. This does not mean that you cannot already be free of suffering now, because when you no longer identify with pain body as a personal matter, as a me, a self, when you simply recognize it as an energy movement within yourself, you recognize that, you bring presence to it, you allow it to be, then it cannot renew itself. The transmutation has already started with that. You don't need to do anything as such to become free of pain body. No doing can do it. One could say to be free of pain body, the opposite of doing works. And the opposite of doing is allowing. But allowing implies that you are there as the witnessing presence. Because if you are not there as the witnessing presence, you cannot allow it. And the very essence of the pain body is that it doesn't allow anything. It is the essence of not allowing. So, no doing to become free. The key is allowing it to be there. And this applies on the inner realm, to the pain body. It ultimately also applies to certain situations on an external level that you have been stuck in for a long time or repeatedly. Situations, you always find yourself in a similar situation and again, and you've tried to get out, new place, new country, new partner, and you're back in the same. In those cases also, no further doing can get you out of that. It is only through allowing this moment to be totally as it is, in other words, the surrendered state, that change will happen. And it'll happen quickly through surrender. So there are certain situations where, of course, cannot renew itself. The transmutation has already started with that. You don't need to do anything as such to become free of pain body. No doing can do it. One could say to be free of pain body, the opposite of doing works. And the opposite of doing is allowing. But allowing implies that you are there as the witnessing presence. Because if you are not there as the witnessing presence, you cannot allow it. And the very essence of the pain body is that it doesn't allow anything. It is the essence of not allowing. So, no doing to become free. The key is allowing it to be there. And this applies on the inner realm to the pain body. It ultimately also applies to certain situations on an external level that you have been stuck in for a long time or repeatedly. Situations, you always find yourself in a similar situation and again, and you've tried to get out, new place, new country, new partner, and you're back in the same. In those cases also, no further doing can get you out of that. It is only through allowing this moment to be totally as it is, in other words, the surrendered state, that change will happen. And it'll happen quickly through surrender. So there are certain situations where, of course, you need to take action to do something about it, to remedy a certain situation. But particularly situations where you find yourself in a stuckness and you find yourself experiencing the same again and again, it calls for surrender. You can't run for the rest of your life, run away from something. Run away from your partner and another partner and then run away from that partner. Or wherever you live or whatever relationships you're engaged in. So both on the inner level, the inner realm, and the outer realm, they're one. The greatest power for transformation lies not in doing, but in allowing. And allowing then implies another perspective on this. It is the ability to look. I'm using it metaphorically, not necessarily with the eyes, to look at your pain body, to bring attention to it. You have to allow it before you can give it full attention. Giving full attention is allowing it. If you don't allow it, you cannot give full attention. So this is the power of presence. And you give attention similar. This is why we talked yesterday as a preliminary to this, about the simple and relatively easy act of giving your full attention to a sense perception, a tree, a flower, people moving, giving pure attention, watching it, allowing it totally, no needing to interpret it. And now we bring attention to that. And that's the unconditioned consciousness. Vast intelligence is looking. Vast intelligence is at work. In Chinese terminology, the Tao is there, and you are totally aligned with it, and it's looking. That the one intelligence is there, and the looking is enough to initiate the transformation of that situation. The looking is enough, no analysis required through mind. How can I get rid of my pain body? How can I get rid of this problematic situation that I've been in for 15 years? And I've been thinking about it for 15 years. And I've been analyzing it, and I've tried this, and I've tried that. But what you haven't tried is to look. Simply to look in that field of alert presence and allow it to be. And see what happens. But the looking, in it, when I say see what happens, that could be misunderstood. There's no expectancy of some future result in the looking. There's simply the looking, the watching, the giving attention, the allowing it to be. And there's enormous power in that. Far greater intelligence is now released than is in the limited human mind, even the greatest human mind. And again, because everything is connected, we started our gathering today with pointing out the power of not knowing. And so when you look at something, you don't feel that you know. So this is another aspect. When you look even at the pain body, there's nothing much that you need to know about it. There's just the looking. In the state of where no further knowing is necessary, and whatever is needed now comes. It can come in many forms. A sudden transformation from within the situation. As it can also come in the form of a sudden thought. And it suddenly, that thought is a realization. Oh, okay. A sudden insight. Ah. It can come as an external factor or event suddenly coming into a situation and changing it completely. It can come as a spontaneous impulse from within you that, and you do what is needed without any doubt whatsoever. The right action happens. So in many forms, the transformation can manifest itself, but the basis for it is not to bring the conditioned mind to it and try to solve it through the extremely limited knowledge, even in the greatest mind, limited knowledge of the conditioned mind. And what we call the greatest minds on the planet, those great people we see, we put on pedestals, they are the greatest minds. They're not really the greatest minds. They had some access to that. They had some ability, perhaps only in their field of endeavor, to be in that state of pure attention, of pure looking. And that's where Einstein looked, perhaps as a mathematical formula, which all these scribbles on the blackboard, which of course was mind stuff, but there were certain breakthroughs, there were insights that came to him that nobody could have worked out through the mind. He had the ability, and other great creative minds, as they are called, and to look And he has made statements that are deeply mystical, so he had deep insights, he had access to that dimension. He even said once, I want to know the mind of God, the rest is details. In other words, I want to know God, the rest is details. In other words, he said, I want to know that which is beyond time and form. The rest is the world of form, details. So that power is your own power, the power of the universe in you. So look at your pain body in that way. And whatever you look upon in that way is embraced. Yes. All right. Look at the worst conflict situation. The world is full of dreadful conflict situation. And anyone that comes into your field of attention now, people in conflict, can't work it out. Look, give it full attention. Bring that alertness there. People discussing and arguing, and you sit there. And then suddenly, something happens. Suddenly, maybe they stop talking and... Or you say something, that a decisive thing that nobody had thought of, and that changes everything. Anything could happen. You don't know beforehand how that intelligence deals with the situation, but it deals with the situation powerfully. Any person in turmoil who comes to you, this has happened, that has happened, and he did to me, and then he said, and I can't. Oh. Oh. And then see what happens. I've told this story before, when I first time I realized, not long after the inner transformation, an extremely excited woman came to me with a very strong ego, talking about her drama. You must do something, you must help me, come. Talk to the lawyers, do this. And for 15 or 20 minutes, I listened to that pain body, heavy pain body. And she, of course, she as the pain body wanted me to confirm the reality of the story, the reality of the situation, the reality of the problem. Please confirm that this is real. And so for 15 or 20 minutes, I gave her attention. There was just allowing that. And that was the first time. Subsequently, it happened many times when I realized that the power, the transformative power of that, when suddenly she stopped talking, looked at all the attorney's papers around her, hundreds of papers and lawsuits that she had been involved in for years. And suddenly she looked at me and said, and all the papers, and said, this isn't important at all, is it? And I said, no, it isn't. And then she just sat there for a few minutes and said, all right, I'll go now. Thank you. And the next morning I saw her and she said, what did you do to me last night? Last night was the first night in 20 years that I slept well. What did you do to me? Her ego was back a little bit, and there was a suspicious look on her face. And said, you did something to me. And from then on, she believed that I had hidden powers. But if you believed that that power was your power, it would very quickly become obscured and blocked to realize there's no me in that whatsoever. If you ever made a me out of it, and the ego could come back through any back door, the ego will come back in and claim some attainment. I healed that woman that night. It's possible the ego could come back. Which means the portal is closing again. The openness is gone. The little egoic identity has come back and claimed some attainment. I did that. You did nothing. It happened because you were not there. It happened because you were transparent. You were open. You were an opening. That's why it happened, not because you were there, because you were not there. Beware of this little thing in the head, the little egoic entity, trying to, where's the back door, it says? I need to get back in somewhere. And it's happened even with spiritual teachers. Enormous power came coming through them. And then at some point, there was the claim of specialness. I am the one. You are also the one, but not quite as one as me. So that's, of course, something to watch in oneself. Special claims of specialness. Because every ego, every egoic entity is special, very special. My problems are very special, much greater than yours. My knowledge, greater than yours. My misery, much more than yours. I'm much more ill than you. You have a headache? I've had a headache for years.